All right, Browns Nation, let's go. We've still got a lot of territory to cover as the Browns get set for the Oakland Raiders. Michael Regei, Matt Wilhelm in the second half of the show. Scott Petrak from the Elyria Chronicle-Telegram will be coming up in studio in about 15 minutes or so. It is Mailbag Wednesday. You guys know the drill. I know you know your X's and O's. You've been in the scheme, in the personnel package, just long enough to know how this works. You hashtag Mailbag Wednesday when you tweet at the show, at Browns underscore daily, at Matt Wilhelm 57, or at Michael Regei, and our esteemed producer, Emmett Golden, will give you priority to be sure of that. We can count on. How you feeling, Matt Wilhelm 57? All good?
I'm feeling great. And again, just to hit Twitter really quickly, it's, you know, I've got at Flautomatic, okay? It says, the Johnny people be ready for 5-11 if it happens. Fans make it sound like we'll finish 12-4 with him. And that is, again, without saying I have anything bad about Johnny Manziel, what we must understand is, to me personally, to kind of put my stamp on it, is he is a question mark in my mind. A question mark, not a question mark, can he do it? Yeah. But it's, can he do it? Maybe yes. But can he do it? Maybe no. And that is the one thing, and why I truly feel that. And the one caller talked about it earlier. Well, if we bring him in now, we'll play him against these three teams we should beat, and use it as a litmus test with Johnny moving forward. And I truly feel like it's a give up, because this staff and Ray Farmer and this team has played and stood behind Brian Hoyer up to this point and rode his wave when it was high. Did it crash last week? Yes. But we also must give him an opportunity to take that wave back up and become the leader and player we were all rooting for only 1 week ago.
Yeah, I've heard so much dialogue about this in the last 72 hours since the plane ride home from Jacksonville on Sunday. Completely understood, but a couple of very quick things for me, because I haven't had a chance to weigh in, listen to you and Nathan a little bit.
Go off, brother.
No, it's just two schools of thought, and it's not anything I haven't pointed out before. I think one thing you got to understand, anytime you're looking for or believe that a quarterback change is the answer, number one, this is a rookie general manager and a rookie head football coach who've made the determination that for them to proceed, the best way to begin this season has been with Brian Hoyer. Mike Pettine said that, you know, he came, and I give him credit for this, he came out and said he always would prefer to go with a veteran quarterback unless the rookie definitively gave him a right there, flat-out, tangible reason to play. That's number one. But number two, this isn't a developmental year, folks. This is an organization that believes, and rightfully so, it can and should be able to markedly improve, to win football games, to put yourself in position. And Matt and I talked about this a little bit. When the month of December rolls around and you've played 12 football games, can you be 6-6? Or even a little bit better? Then you're in position where you're relevant, and you can honestly say, we got a shot to make the playoffs. And that's what this is about. And not just at the quarterback position. You know, you could tell me all you want about Joel Bitonio. Sure, the Browns had a big, big, big need there, and he was the best one. But this isn't, you're seeing it with also Justin Gilbert, who played a little bit better on Sunday. But the point is, this is not looked upon here as a year of development where that takes precedent over winning.
That's
and
right.
The opportunity to win. It's just not.
No, it's not. And that's what we must wrap our head around, is that the commitment by Jimmy Haslam to be the owner of this football team and spend $100 million on the stadium and enhance the overall environment of the Cleveland Browns organization, and Ray Farmer to identify and go out and get players that they earmarked of being a Brown, and then including them in, you know, in our game plan and making them a vital part of our team, the heartbeat of this locker room, is their commitment to win football games.
That's correct.
They will make an unpopular decision 10 times out of 10 to win over making you happy, because as I've said all along, there is no better marketing plan. There is no way to sell more tickets, more jerseys, more parking, more beers, more hot dogs, more peanuts than winning football games. Not one person. We bring Peyton Manning and lose, you will still not show up. We win football games, you will butts will be in the seats every week. That is what this team is committed to. That is what management is committed to. And they're not going to appease Browns Nation if you're rooting for one guy. It's about the 53 men and the competition and the performance they put on the field each Sunday in trying to win a football game for you. That makes you most happiest.
Bottom line, and winning is always going to trump marketing and branding. 216-578-0850. Let us get at it. Let's swing down to Brunswick, strong football city. Here's Jim on Cleveland Browns Daily. What's going on, James?
Not too much. How you fellas doing?
We're
doing
great. Good to hear from you.
I just wanted to ask Matt a couple questions, I guess. You know, I played, 20-some years ago, lower-level college, whatever. But we were always taught on the punt, put your heels on the 10, take your chances with the punter. I just want to know if that's not being taught as much because the punters are a little bit better now. I got the Australian guys. Maybe they're downing it more inside the 10. And just one quick maybe observation on that punt that the Rams ran, that trick punt, because I hear people say, oh, they should have done this, should have done that. Maybe they don't realize that when you're on punt coverage, you just run. And it's hard to look back to find the ball and run as fast as you can. You're running as fast as you can, and you're running to the spot where you think the ball is. And I know sometimes the long snapper will say, ball, ball, ball. But I just want to know if you could speak on that, because I know that had to be in a special teams guy. Had to be so exciting for you, because it was for me. I thought it was unbelievable.
Sure, and I'll take your questions a second. The second question first. And go ahead. It was fun for me. And the fact of the matter is, what was exciting to me is that play got pulled off in a National Football League game. You practice those types of things, you script them up, and they sound so great. Halfback pass, this double fake reverse, this, and you practice them, but to actually go out and execute it, and also too the fact that you executed it against a very good special teams unit in the Seattle Seahawks and a good football team at home, again, is probably going to be an ESPY award winning play of the year. And your second point, when you talk about your heels on the 10, everyone is coached kind of different. Some use the 8, some use the 7, some even use the 5-yard line. Don't ever, field a ball inside the 5. In this case, what you're probably referencing is Jordan Poyer, why he was even inside the 5 to potentially field that ball.
Right.
And there's a few things that come into my head to talk about that is, well, first and foremost, when it's an Aussie kick, which is that end-over-end, extremely high ball, that is most likely fair caught in, at, or around the 10-yard line, you're definitely right. But in this case, a return was called by the Cleveland Browns, which is why we had Jordan Poyer in the game and not Jim Leonard. And again, he lost sight of where he was on the football field. He, again, a little bit like Terrence West, probably had in his head, we need a spark.
I can make a big play.
I can make a big
play.
He
also said he saw about 12 to 15 yards of what he felt was negotiable, gainable real estate to maybe then bust a seam and,
exactly,
as you said, break something big.
You're right. So that him.
But he accepted the ball on the 2-yard line, though. Big problem.
Huge problem. And lastly, is to go back to my point about the trajectory and also to the ball flight is, balls in this case that was punted from the 30-yard line was a spiral. It was like shot out of a missile. Like a missile,
right,
not an end over end. So the trajectory of that ball and the wind variance there in Jacksonville is what pushed that ball to continue to sail, which is why his perception was off, not only of where he was, on the football field, but his fielding of the ball. He expected it to hit him in the numbers, and it hits him in the face. That's misjudging a ball by almost like a yard.
Pretty much so, yeah, off the face mask, off the shield. Jimmy, we appreciate the call. Good stuff. Let's swing into Parma. Here's Brian on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. How are you, Brian?
I'm good. How are you guys doing today?
Doing
great.
Good
to hear from you.
Good. But I got three quick things. I'll make them real quick for you guys on Brian Hoyer. I think we should really be honest with ourselves when we look at what we've got so far this year in 6 games. The first one would be accuracy. In every game this year, he's had a guy wide open that would have been 6 points and either underthrew or overthrew. That one to Jordan Cameron, we're not talking throwing to the small guys, Jordan Cameron a couple times in the Pittsburgh game and in Jacksonville. Secondly, mobility, and right now, most importantly, with the offensive line, you're down Alex Mack. Obviously, against Jacksonville, that offensive line was a little porous. I think that messed up that whole game for Hoyer, as far as he doesn't have the legs to extend the plays and to get out of there. thirdly, I believe right now it looks to me, and it was either in the Saints or the Ravens game when he scrambled left and he had plenty of room to run. He could have slid. He could have got out of bounds. He threw the ball 5 yards past the line of scrimmage. It just seems to me like he's playing a little scared, a little nervous about the knee still. Contract year. He wants to prove himself. He's looking for, you know, he's looking for the deal either here or somewhere else. He gets hurt again. That could be it for him down the road. And it just, to me, it shows. In all six games, I've seen all three of those aspects, and I was just wondering what you guys felt about all three.
Yeah, Brian, good points that you raised, to be sure. There's no question that Brian Hoyer's accuracy has ebbed and flowed. And it's flowed in the last couple of weeks to the point where I think that's what it's called into question. That's what we're talking about. Now, you need a completion percentage in that 63 and above area. Brian's at 55 right now. It's about at the bottom of the National Football League. So, and he addressed that the other day after the Jacksonville game. So he realizes that that could be something that an area that, you know, if it continues, is going to be an issue. And it's something that he's going to have to clean up, and to allow this team to continue to function to win. The one thing I'll counter all of that with, though, is to me, bottom line payoff. He also has engineered 6 80-yard or more touchdown drives. Not field goal drives, touchdown drives. To me, that's being able to sustain drives. 3 of those have been in the fourth quarter to either win or put away games. So to me, I will use that as a counter to the accuracy issues, as in, when's the last time we've been talking about a Browns quarterback that's going on 6 80-yard-plus drives that have put 7 points on the board?
Sure. And to wrap up this kind of concept about Brian Hoyer and put a bow on it, lastly, in my eyes, it's there's a way that you can build that confidence and raise that accuracy level and that percentage. And I talked about a little bit about it yesterday, is some more quick passing, some 3-step drops, you know, getting Jordan Cameron that little 5-yard turnaround, and just give your playmakers the ball. Those are confidence builders early in the game, and that is something that's my mailbag, you know, Wednesday, how are we going to beat the Raiders concept is, you know, nickel and dime, take what the defense gives us and not be so cookie cutter play action pass. Let's deviate a little bit from, you know, from who we are, and open things up and build confidence, get the ball in the hands of our playmakers, build confidence in Brian Hoyer, who's coming off his worst game thus far as a starter. Those things will compound as we deviate back to what we do best, which is running the football and throwing off of it.
Yeah, I certainly, that's very top of the food chain, no doubt about that. Another thing, too, I think that Brian understands, and yes, maybe now, especially the other day, he was looking to, he wants to be able to, in the pocket, in the box, where you got to make throws. I think that maybe now he's saying, well, I got to be willing to hang on to the football that one beat longer to either let a route develop or knowing that you're going to be pressured and you're going to take some hits. And, you know, that's something that, too, I think he's going to have to work through that with regard to his accuracy. I mean, you know, as you know, offensive line loves a guy that'll, because they know where he is. And they love a guy that's going to be willing to hang on that football.
Yes.
That extra skosh longer, knowing you're going to get a delivery hit. But again, now, Ken, it's got to be accurate in the ball placement. It's got to be there.
It does. And one last point for the caller is just, I would think anybody, whether you're a stay-at-home mom or you're a professional quarterback in the National Football League, and you blow your ACL out, you will play tentative, and it is mind over matter that you have to grow in confidence and avoid what happened. How, you know, in his mind, he probably has flashbacks of how he injured that knee, and he wants to avoid those situations until
he builds
full confidence.
And instead of throwing the football away, seeing I got about 7-8 yards I can make here in the Buffalo game before he ran into Kiko Alonso.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah. You're right.
All right, listen, we got to get a timeout. When we get back, Scotty Petrak from the Elyria Chronicle-Telegram. It's one of the highlights of our week, to be sure. Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Scott comes into the Dog Bowl. It joins Matt and I. Great to have you with us, everybody. Back in a moment with Scott Petrak. Don't forget about more mail, hashtag Mailbag Wednesday. Tweet at the show. Matt and I will get to more of those and more of your calls coming up in the final half hour. Cleveland Browns Daily with the Browns ready to face those Oakland Raiders coming up on Sunday. A lot more happening. Don't go away.